Blog Talk Radio.
Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Hope you guys are having a great lead up to the draft here. It's been a pretty good week. A lot of stuff going on. Want to thank Blog Talk Radio for allowing us to come on this week. And of course, we're being presented today by Impact Media, so I want to thank them as well. Got a lot of stuff we want to get to. As the lead up said, going to talk some Atlanta Falcons on the back end of the show, as we like to typically do. Some stuff going on in the NFL, some draft rumors. Some of them are still going around. There's actually some pretty good ones lately. Going to talk about Deion Jordan of the Dolphins and his latest debacle, I guess. The Cleveland Browns. We're going to hit the NFC South for draft projections. I'm going to give you a heads up in the first round of where those five picks could be. Or where... We all know where they are. I'm going to tell you generally who I think they're going to be, who we're hearing at this point, and, of course, some other news and notes from the Falcons. Once again, welcome to the show. A little unorthodox. Not only are we a little early, but we're also the day before as well. But with the draft tomorrow night, didn't want to bog you guys down. I want to give you plenty of time to get where you need to go. So, you know, let's get right to it real quick. First off, I do want to start with the Miami defensive end, Deion Jordan. He has been suspended for the entire year. That would be a calendar year, if I'm not mistaken, for testing positive or violating the substance abuse policy in the NFL. This is not his first violation, of course. That's why it's for the full year. Really, this is a big blow for them. They traded up back in 2013, I believe, to grab him, number three overall. Had a little bit of a couple hiccups as far as coming into the draft, but at the same time, he's a good pass rusher, and he puts a lot of pressure on offensive linemen, and he's a pretty good disruptor. Putting him with Cameron Wake and also now Ndamukong Suh down there, they were set to have a pretty good defensive pass rush there. Now they may have to possibly move up in the draft and try to grab one of these pass rushers now. I think that would not be a bad idea for them, and that's unfortunate because they really need to draft a wide receiver for Ryan Tannehill to help his development. But it is what it is as far as those are concerned, you know, as far as the violations are, and, you know, they're going to have to live with it now and see what happens from here. I just hope that it's not an issue for him or an addiction or any kind of, you know, chemical dependency of any kind, or if it is, that he can sort it out and make sure it's heads on straight and make the best decision for him, whether that's football, whether that's not, whatever it is, you know, clear it up to where there's no hiccups in his life. Like I said, he was the number three overall in 2013. He was actually suspended the first four games last year for PEDs, and then there was four additional games last year for substance abuse violations. So there seems to be a few occurrences of this. It's not really a pattern yet, but, you know, hopefully he can get everything straight. Joe Thomas, who is pretty much the face of the Cleveland Browns, they got a lot of good players, a lot of good talent. They're slowly building a good team there, but Joe Thomas, if I'm not mistaken, perennial Pro Bowler Joe Thomas, has been quoted as saying, Manziel is night and day different from last year, unquote. And I, for the most part, believe him. Sure, Johnny's still been seen going to games all over the place, basketball games and such things like this, but I think Manziel is starting to figure out how things work in this league. In this league, you know, Gronkowski's known for partying a good bit all over the place, but it's still in a controlled way. The Patriots still have a general idea what's going on, and it doesn't ever seem to be too out of hand. So, you know, there's a if you still want to do that, then it's a little, you know, it can be done. The thing is Manziel has realized now that he holds one of the 32 more prestigious jobs in the league, and that being a starting quarterback, or at least he was for a few games. We'll have to see from there on out. But when you're a quarterback, there's a little bit bigger issue with, you know, kind of partying, being around a lot of places, and, you know, that sort of thing. I definitely agree with what Colin Cowherd says on this, and that's even with some of these kids and draftees coming up for Thursday that have failed tests because of marijuana or were given a citation because of they had possession of it at some point. I'm not condoning any of these activities whatsoever, but at the same time, you know, if my starting left defensive end tests positive for marijuana, I'm not going to say I'm going to let that go. There'll still be the punishment. It is what it is. But if it's my starting quarterback, I have a problem for so many reasons. He's the face of the team. He's the guy who really should be thinking the clearest of all and making the best absolute decisions. Because more than likely, if somebody tests positive or somebody gets a citation for possession, they're probably not doing it all that much. I don't know. That's making assumptions. But, you know, as far as Manziel is concerned, I think he's handful of weeks and months in the correctional facility, the rehab facility, I think, done him a lot of good. And he knows he's got to make more clear-headed decisions nowadays. You know, there's a draft rumor going around that I'll get to in a minute that may actually jeopardize Manziel's position with the Browns, but we'll get into draft rumors here in a minute. The Jets were fined $100,000 for the Darrelle Revis tampering case. And, of course, they tried to flip that around on the Patriots, and nothing's going to come of that. No draft. They didn't lose a draft pick. $100,000 is drop in the bucket to pretty much any owner. So more than likely, they'll just go ahead and take this one on the chin and move on. There was a lot of people that could have been called for tampering, but the Jets were the biggest case for sure, as they let it be known when he was still a Patriot that they would love to have Darrelle Revis back. You cannot talk about another player under contract with another team while he's still on that other team. So, of course, that's what they got popped for there. Like I said, it's not going to affect their draft. It's not going to really it's going to be a drop in the bucket for the owner or the organization. And hopefully they learn from it and don't make such statements in public. The NFL has decided that they are going to file as a taxable company, business, organization. They've been a nonprofit filing for a long, long time, possibly in the history of the league. I have to look that up. The main thing to think about here, there has to be something behind this, and whatever it is, I hope it benefits all parties. But in filing as taxable, now their financial records, at least, you know, the overall statements, I believe, will become public knowledge. So we can look at their books and see how things are going there. But we will no longer be able to look at the salaries of employees of the NFL. Won't be able to figure out how much they make, even though we all have a general idea. I think this is good, though, because anybody who has been against the NFL or some of their policies or things always tries to bring up, you know, even with some of these lawsuits because of concussions and other related injuries over the years, they always try to say, well, they're a nonprofit company, so they're pocketing so much more money because they're not having to pay tax on it. Well, looks like Goodell is one step ahead there in saying that it's best going forward if the NFL is a taxable business. So kudos to him on that. We'll definitely have to pay attention to it as to if there's any more developments. While we were just talking about the Jets, we might as well talk about them again. The Jets defensive end and superb pass rusher Muhammad Wilkerson apparently wants an extension and a little bit more money. I believe he makes $6.36, something like that, a year, or he's going to make that this year. And he's in the last year of the contract. He would like an extension and a little bit more money. And I guess he let them know that it was okay if it was for a different team. So there's been some talks as far as the draft and Muhammad Wilkerson, him moving around, somebody that would want to sign him to an extension. I really think there's a handful of those players that we definitely could see move here in the next few days, by the weekend. He could definitely be one. That's one that I would say if Jacksonville or Atlanta, who we talk about weekly here on Impact Media, both those teams could use Muhammad Wilkerson's services. I don't know what the Jets are asking for it, but it may be worth inquiring about, or maybe those teams are already inquiring about it. We'll have to wait and see on that one. The big question coming out of Houston, besides who's going to play quarterback, is Jadeveon Clowney set to make an impact in 2015? Well, the bar is not very high from 2014 to improve on that. So, you know, as long as the microfracture surgery he had on his knee is correcting, and from, you know, we keep hearing the coaches speak, organization speak, players speak, that everything is going well, ahead of schedule, all this kind of stuff. They think he's going to be back by week one, so week one we're going to have to find that one out. I hope he does well, because I remember watching him from nearby South Carolina. I got to see him a lot down here in the South. I remember watching a lot of games he played in, and he is a total disruptor for sure. And if you compare him with J.J. Watt and Brian Cushing and some of the other guys, there is no telling the kind of disruption and numbers that defense can actually put up. I believe we are to the draft rumors section, finally. Didn't take us that long, did it? Let's go ahead and start with the Adrian Peterson stuff, because we all know the teams that are involved, the teams that are supposedly have backed out. Well, from everything I've heard in the last week from people that know a little bit more about it than I do not count out the Cowboys, no matter what they say, because right here, near the draft, everybody is about deception. I will tell you, I am not going to pick player A. I'm not going to pick player A. I'm not going to pick player A. And then I draft, you got it, player A. So for the Cowboys, you know, like the Titans right now saying they're so high on Mariota, they're going to draft Mariota. Mariota's their guy. They're going to pick him at 2 unless somebody gives them an unbelievable offer. Well, of course they're going to say that. They're going to drive up the price, so that when you want to move up to take Mariota, and I'll give you the team that's probably the closest in trying to do this right now, the only offer I've heard on the table. But you drive up the price like this, make your product, your asset, worth so much that maybe you can get a handful of first-round picks for them. They're doing their due diligence on that. So got to give an extra special shout-out to the Titans for doing that. But as far as the Cowboys, for them to say that running back is not necessarily a priority in this draft, and that they're not going to try to acquire Adrian Peterson or any big-name free agent that would cost them a couple picks. Yeah, I'm not quite believing that one. I do know, you know, as of a couple years ago even, if the Jones family wanted somebody, they typically did everything they could to go out and get them. Now, we have seen the kind of more grown-up, mature in a way, if you want to call it that, because they're already grown-ups. But this latest draft, where instead of getting Johnny Manziel, they decided to pick up Zach Martin, and that panned out pretty well for him, we will definitely have to see. But I would say don't count the Cowboys out if Adrian Peterson is still a Viking after the first round. I would imagine sometime Friday or Saturday morning, there may be a few offers sent to Minnesota. Maybe a second, third round pick around it, somewhere around in there. But here's the thing about Adrian Peterson, and the thing that makes me a little skeptical. I would need to see workouts because he did technically not play most of last year. And he is 30 years old, usually that magic number for running backs where everything starts to decline, and it's just as easy to draft a 22-year-old running back than it is to pay a 31. He is also due to make about just north of $13 million this year and wants to sign a bigger extension. I'm not so sure about that. Like I said, I would have to see him work out. Adrian Peterson can probably still do it. He's still a top five guy in the draft, but $13 million is a lot of money, more than most teams are paying their quarterback. Of course, most of those teams are not playoff teams. Maybe there's something to that. Some other draft rumors. Of course, there's still the Phillip Rivers to Tennessee for a pick, or for the number two pick, so that they could grab Mariota. That one's kind of still a stalemate. I wouldn't be surprised if Rivers stays in San Diego at least through this year. If he has a problem moving to L.A., they either work something out at that point, or they just keep franchise tagging him because it'll be a fair market value at that point. Anyway, the other one going around, of course, is Philadelphia using Sam Bradford to trade to Cleveland for a couple picks, preferably the 12 and the 19 of this year, so that would give them up to 3 first-round picks to ultimately move them up in the draft, maybe to Tennessee at number 2, so that Chip Kelly can go get Marcus Mariota. Now, I'll get more into Tampa in a minute that could throw a wrench in this entire thing, or make it a lot more interesting. But the last couple rumors I wanted to get to. The Bears are currently entertaining offers for tight end Martellus Bennett. Actually, before the Jimmy Graham trade went down, Seattle had inquired to Chicago for Martellus Bennett, and it would have reunited the Bennett brothers. But at the same time, they could not reach a good deal for both teams, so ultimately that one didn't happen, and Jimmy Graham was traded for. And then the latest thing, I mentioned the Cleveland Browns earlier. Well, the Cleveland Browns have put an offer on the table for the Tennessee Titans, and I'll tell you the offer. I'll tell you my take on it, or where they stand. First of all, the fact that they're probably going to take a quarterback of the first round for the third or fourth year in a row is maybe testament to maybe they need to look at their scouting department, because it's at least in the quarterback situation, they haven't done so well.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
Yep, Homer, it sure is. It is a little entertaining to watch them take a quarterback each year. I really wish they'd just figure it out, because the city of Cleveland deserves a great team, and at least LeBron James has taken the Cavaliers towards something. We'll have to see what the Indians do. But Cleveland has put 2 first-round picks, that'd be the 12 and 19 this year, on the board. They want to trade it for the number 2 pick that Tennessee has, obviously ultimately to go up and grab Mariota. Now, to most of us, this seems like a pretty fair deal, right? Sure. To NFL actual offers, owners, GMs, coaches, that kind of thing, this is actually a lowball offer. They're not trying to lowball them on purpose. This is just the Browns making sure that everybody realizes they're trying. But it's probably going to cost more than 2 first-round picks, I would imagine, to move up and take the number 2 pick. It could cost 3. I don't know if the Browns are wanting to do that. But as I've said, even with Chip Kelly, if you're willing to bet the farm and that's your guy that's going to take you, you know, solidly for the next 7 to 10 years, what's a couple first-round picks? I mean, we'll just have to wait and see as far as all this stuff. But the rumors will always go back and forth and back and forth. at least for the for coming, you know, next day or so up until the Thursday draft. We'll just have to wait and see. That's all we can do. I think it's going to be an entertaining draft. It's going to be a lot of people moving around back and forth. But that's going to bring to a close our end zone segment. On the other side of the break, we will jump into the NFC South and, of course, Falcon Zone. I want to catch you up on a lot of the things happening there, including some stuff we're going to be involved in. At the end of the show, I'll remind everybody of my draft plans. And I'm pretty sure I know Reggie's as well. But for Impact Media, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. Hi, Jeremy the Impact York here from Mellow Mushroom. Are you looking for a great family-friendly restaurant with food that is great and healthy? Drop by the Mellow Mushroom. They use the freshest ingredients to make everything on their amazing menu. Pizzas, calzones, salads, and more, plus daily drink specials. Go to mellowmushroom.com to find the location nearest you.
And that's right, currently the Falcons are on top as there is a four-way tie in the NFC South for the leader. Sounds good to say that, doesn't it? I am Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome back to Falcon Zone, the second half of our segment of show today. A bunch we're going to get into. We're going to talk about the NFC South draft. I'm going to tell you where those who those five picks could possibly be based off what we're hearing, what we're seeing. And going to catch you up with some news and notes, including some events of some things that we'll actually be a part of later off in the year. But once again, welcome into Falcon Zone. Appreciate you dropping by. Voluntary minicamp started this week, and as far as I know, there were no big holdouts, and everybody seemed to show up and really be energized to meet and meet Coach Quinn and see the direction he was wanting to take everything. And there's a lot of pictures up at AtlantaFalcons.com. Everybody seems excited. Everybody has a smile on their face. So either there was extra sugar in their Frosted Flakes this morning, or they're actually happy to be there. And I believe everybody's just happy to get back to playing football. Don't blame them. I'm very happy that football is back. It's back. Not like Ole Miss football. That was back. That was last year. But like I said, voluntary minicamp. There's some days when you, the fans, can go up there and hang out and do such things as meet the players, take pictures, get autographs, you know, all the fun stuff of being a fan, and go support the guys. AtlantaFalcons.com will have all that. If we hear of anything, we'll try to let you guys know ahead of time. The entire team as well did go up to Fort Gordon to visit the troops and, you know, hang out and overall support them and let all the troops know how much the Falcons organization appreciates what they do. I always enjoy these kinds of trips, whether it's the WWE going overseas or one of the teams or the USO tours and musicians and all the stuff. And I know the NFL is not only a proud sponsor and partner of the military, but that each team, individual team, tries to visit all the local forts and let the guys know that there are people behind them, because you guys, the fans, are also behind them as well. So shout out to all our military people out there. You know, maybe we're working on some things later on this year that where we're going to try to work with some organizations that benefit the military. So we'll have more on that later. Equifax has been named a founding partner of the new stadium. You know, they have a lot of interactive things Equifax does with the Falcons throughout the year. I think this is a good partnership. Equifax will definitely support the Falcons in growing the community and using that new dome, that, or not really a dome, it's an open air stadium, but I think that's just a great partnership. Now, a lot of you guys have asked my thoughts on the schedule. Now, I'm not going to really get into this because I'm going to wait till Coach and Reggie are back. More than likely, our next show will be next week. I'm going to give Reggie about a week to calm down from the draft, and I believe he's currently out in Vegas, or on his way there, for the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, which I have Floyd Mayweather in. Not a big boxing fan, but I do know a little bit about the two of these guys, and I think it's just going to be an overall good thing. So, you know, more power to them there. Reggie, hope you have a good time out there. My quick thoughts on the schedule: I think it is very fan-friendly as far as travel trips. I also think they got the lucky draw of the AFC and NFC South playing each other. Those were statistically the worst two divisions last year, even though we all know they're not the worst divisions. But a lot of teams struggling to get back up on top. So it'll definitely be fun to see a lot of these matchups. I do like a handful of these matchups a whole lot. I find it interesting some of the teams that they play early on. And I also find it interesting that the first NFC South game, the first division rival game that the Falcons play, is in week 6, and it's a Thursday night game in New Orleans. So we'll have to pay attention to that one. There's another primetime game, with that one being the Monday night opener in week 1 on ESPN against the Eagles. But like I said, we will talk more on the schedule next week, because I do want to hear Reggie's thoughts on it, and of course coaches as well. The other event that I wanted to talk about, let's see, one of the other events, the Atlanta Track Club and the Falcons are going to partner up on September 12th for the Rise Up and Run 5K. I happen to be fans of 5Ks. I enjoy running myself. Hopefully you guys will come out and run with us. Like I said, that's something we're going to be a part of. We'll be running as part of the ATL Falcoholics group. I will also have my Impact Media gear. So I should be pretty easy to spot the famous faux hawk and the Impact Media gear. So come down and hang out with us. Like I said, this is in September 12th, so We'll say more and more about it as it comes up, but I've already confirmed with a lot of the ATL Falcoholics that they are running in this. I'll be running in this. It's presented by Northside Hospital Healthcare System, and just it benefits so many good things down there. So if you can, either donate your time, effort, money, just saying small prayers about the people that this benefits works just as well. And, of course, if you want to sign up and run, by all means. I'd love to run with you guys. And when we come back from a break, we're going to go over, I'm going to tell you the 5 NFC South picks that will be in the first round. I'm going to give you my heads up as to who I think they're going to be and what could possibly happen with those picks. Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
By the Mellow Mushroom. They use the freshest ingredients to make everything on their amazing menu. Pizzas, calzones, salads, and more, plus daily drink specials. Go to mellowmushroom.com to find the location nearest you. Jeremy the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. Many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back here on Falcon Zone on Blog Talk Radio, presented by Impact Media. Welcome back. As I said, I'm going to go over the five picks from the NFC South in the first round, give you an idea who I think is going to go there based off things I've heard, and also give you an idea what could happen with those picks. Now, I'm going to start right off the bat with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because they do have the number one overall pick. I think it's possibly one of the worst-kept secrets in the NFL right now. Pretty sure I would say I'm about 97-98% sure that Jameis Winston is coming first off the board to Tampa Bay. He's a great fit for everything they do down there. But don't be surprised. Let me just throw this out here. Don't be surprised if anything happens in the NFL, because you never know what's going to happen. But don't be surprised if they were to maybe go off the board or off the cuff here and go defensive lineman Leonard Williams, who's the number one overall player in the draft. I could definitely see him going number one. I don't know. I don't feel like Mariota's enough of a fit in Lovie's system, although he could be. Keep in mind, when Lovie Smith won a Super Bowl, he didn't have a franchise quarterback. All the success he had in Chicago, he didn't have a franchise quarterback. You could debate Jay Cutler one way or the other. I don't personally have him in the franchise category. I think he's a good talent. I think he could be as soon as this year even, but he's not right now. And, you know, don't be surprised if they get the right deal and trade down, because, you know, trade down and grab Amari Cooper, Kevin White, go grab another wide receiver and just kind of run with Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon's got a decent arm, and under Lovie's system, it could actually work. So, you know, don't be surprised with that. The likelihood of that happening, I think I would rather go for some random number on a roulette wheel. But do talk about all the possibilities here. And as far as Tampa Bay, I believe it is going to be Winston, but like I said, don't be surprised if Leonard Williams come off the board at one, or if they did trade down. Although, we seriously doubt if they will. The next pick I want to get to, as we just go down the list, as we go down the draft order, obviously to number 8 for the Atlanta Falcons. Clearly, they need to go pass rush. Or they could possibly trade down. The problem is, to me, if you trade down out of 8, you're going to miss out on some of the top-level pass rushers. Now, there's some other ones that are going to be on further down for various reasons, and other ones there, but these guys that could start day one for sure are definitely, I think, going to be gone, you know, in the top 10, probably in the top 7 or 8 anyway. There's a few more that could follow further down, but I think if you're picking in the top 10 or 12, you're going to get a pass rusher for the most part, unless you need something else. The guy that everybody seems to be leaning to, and I lean towards him as well, is Vic Beasley out of Clemson. I feel he's an outside linebacker. He can play stand-up defensive end at times. He's very disruptive. He can really get in there and mess with the opposing quarterback. That would be the leading candidate, I would imagine. The only other name that comes to mind right off the top of my head that could also be there is Shane Ray. We know about his possession of marijuana citation. It is what it is. I don't think it dropped him any in Dan Quinn's mind. I think his list is still sitting the same way it is. So if I'm a Falcons fan, I would say it's going to be either Beasley or Shane Ray. And I don't see where you can go wrong with either one of those guys. If they pick somebody else, they pick somebody else. But I really think the Falcons are gonna go with one of those two guys. So we will see on Thursday night about 8:30-ish, hopefully. Could be 8:40. Could be almost 9 o'clock by the time they get that far. Who knows? But Falcons fans, look forward to Shane Ray or Vic Beasley. I believe those are the guys. Unless they trade down. But I don't know who would want to trade up to 8 at that point. So, you know, people talk about Todd Gurley as well going 8. I think he may be the distant dark horse third guy in this equation. But I just don't see it. Who knows? I've been wrong before. Moving on to the next pick is the number 13 pick for the New Orleans Saints. Now, the New Orleans Saints, in my opinion, need to grab a wide receiver with the trade they pulled off of Miami, sending one of their top wide receivers to Miami. They also need some help at offensive line, especially offensive tackle, and possibly cornerback. They definitely need another defensive back, I believe, especially to play in this division. With the 13 pick, because they do have one later on, obviously, that they picked up from Seattle for the Jimmy Graham trade. By the way, still, kudos on the Jimmy Graham trade. I like that trade. I hate that you had to give up Jimmy Graham, but I felt like what you got back and what you're doing with this team is definitely sending it in the direction you're wanting to go. And that sounds very political, and I really didn't say much there, but let's just put it this way. If I were a Saints fan, I would be a little sad that Jimmy Graham's out of town, but at the same time, I would be very happy with the direction the Saints are taking this team. And I look forward to the good things they're going to do this year. I actually have on my mock draft, and I only filled out one because I think mock drafts are kind of goofy. I know a lot of people get paid money to do them, and that's fine. They know a lot more than me. I just kind of threw one together just for the sake of the NFL.com predict the pick. I've actually got Jalen Collins, the corner, going to the Saints at 13. But I could also see Lael Collins, the offensive tackle. I could also see them grabbing one of the wide receivers if they are left at this point. Obviously, Amari Cooper will probably be gone. Kevin White could still be laying around. You know, Devontae Parker and Breshad Perriman could be there. But if I as deep as the wide receiver class is here, I would either go Lael Collins or Jalen Collins at this point. And I think you'll be happy with either one of those. Moving on to the next pick, which would be the Carolina pick at 25. I've actually got them picking Lael Collins because they also need offensive tackle help, offensive line. But don't be surprised with the wide receiver turnover they did last year, and then going into this season, they've kind of shaken it up a little bit again. I wouldn't be surprised for them to jump on the board for Dorial Green-Beckham, the wide receiver out of Missouri. He's one of those Carolina-type players. He would fit well with the way Ron Rivera likes to do the offense, and he gives Cam a good, solid target to throw to. Be kind of hard to go wrong with Jalen Strong or Philip Dorsett as well, or Breshad Perriman, Parker, White, Cooper. Any of those guys are on the board, but we're talking about the 25 pick. So I would imagine they're going to pick a wide receiver at 25, and if they don't, offensive tackle is something they'll go for. And I just told you, Leo Collins would be one to look at. You know, maybe Andres Pete, T.J. Clemens, D.J. Humphries, Eric Flowers. I don't know. I kind of agree with Ross Tucker here. I'm not sold on Eric Flowers. I think he's an okay player, but I don't like his hand work. His footwork's okay. I don't like where his hands go when he tries to block and hold off people. So, you know, never know. I'm not a talent scout, so I could be wrong here. But that leads me to the last pick for the NFC South in the first round. And, of course, that'd be the 31 pick to the Saints. I don't know if I like my pick that I have on here. I have Melvin Gordon. I don't know why they took another running back. I don't know. I'm leaning towards them really trying to run the ball. And if they got Kerry Robinson, I believe Pierre Thomas is still there. And, of course, Mark Ingram. Running Mark Ingram and Melvin Gordon side by side could definitely be a strategy that would take you pretty far in this league, I believe. Pretty good defense. You know, pretty good defense and run the ball, pound the ball a lot. Takes a lot of pressure off Drew Brees. They still need that wide receiver, though. I'm going to say at the 31 pick, let's see, I think they take Lael Collins. He's not going to be there at 31. You know, I think here they're going to go wide receiver. And I think they're going to take Philip Dorsett from Miami. And that's going to round out who they're wanting to take. I don't know, they could take Breshad Perriman there. Yeah, they'll probably take, let's say Breshad Perriman. We'll go Breshad Perriman to the New Orleans Saints right there at the end. This draft's going to be a lot of fun. I will be at the Mellow Mushroom here in Buckhead, which is right outside of Atlanta, with the Atlanta chapter of the Bold City Brigade, which is a Jaguars diehard fan group. They're a lot of fun to hang with. They extended the invitation to us here. Coach couldn't make it. He's got an event he's going to. Like I said, Reggie's at an event in Vegas, so I will come see you guys. And if you guys do want to come by and say hello, pretty easy to find. Just even there on Facebook, just look it up. Mellow Mushroom Buckhead. We're going to have a lot of time. We're going to have a lot of fun. But our time is now officially over. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for allowing us to come on. In case you tuned in today looking for the GSU Panther Zone, it will be on tomorrow. We had to swap them because of the draft. But look forward to that. A lot of exciting things going on with your Georgia State Panthers. But for Coach and Reggie, who will hopefully be back in the next week or so, we look forward to having them back. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us on the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show. We'll see you next week.